evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ascension Secrets of St. Germain show. I'm Troika St. Germain. I did have a guest for this evening who turns out not to be there when we call him. So my show is all focused on him and interviewing him, and I found out about 5 minutes ago that he's not going to be on the show. So, surprise, I'm not quite prepared for this show, but hey, that's never stopped me from talking for an hour before in my life, so I'm just going to jump into things and tell you what's new and what's been going on, and we'll do a violet flame meditation, and we'll have a great time. So before we get into the violet flame invocation, I call it, and do that, I want to tell you that 1 week from tonight, I will be on a plane going to England, followed by a trip to Transylvania, and then to Paris and Versailles, and then back home. I'm really excited about this trip. It's something that I've wanted to do for about 30 years, and it took that long for all the coordinates to come into perfect alignment for me to do this. And what the reason why I'm taking this trip, it's a personal spiritual journey, and I will be tracing a lifetime of mine and a former lifetime of Saint Germain by going to visit all the King Arthur places and Stonehenge and all of that. And that's what I'll be doing part of the time in the UK. And I will be doing next week, like I say, I will be on a plane. So next week, Ron Armatron, who has the Creation Lightship Healings, he's the show right before me, and he's become my friend now. We've met up in San Francisco, even though we both live in Mount Shasta, and we did the WESAC ceremony or event together, and he was at my house today, and we're becoming great friends, and he's really fabulous, and his healings are amazing. And so he's going to expand his show next week to cover my show as well while I'm flying. And then the following week, I will be doing a pre-taped show from England, because the time, if I do it live, I'll have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'd have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do a 4 o'clock in the morning show, which I'm sorry, I'm not willing to do. No matter how much I love you guys, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to pre-tape the show, and you'll hear it live in essence, and I'll tell you about what's happened in the first week of being in England. And then the following week, when we do a pre-taped show, I will be in Transylvania. That'll be fun. I'll tell you all about Transylvania. And then the following week, I will be on an airplane coming back home on that Wednesday. So my dear friend, Leia Bowden, who was one of my guests in January, she does the energy portraits and healing work, and she's going to be the guest host for my show on June 13th, and then I will be back the following week. So some of the reasons why what I'm going to be doing on this trip, like I said, is tracing, in England I'll be tracing a past lifetime of mine and Saint Germain. He was Merlin the Magician during the days of King Arthur, and I was a lady that's referred to quite often as Morgana, and the High Priestess of Avalon, and King Arthur's half-sister, and I was not the horrible person that people think I was or that the legend says I was. So I'm going back to trace that lifetime and reclaim my little bits and pieces that are still there. And then I'll be doing the Angelic Reiki Masters update with Kevin Kaur in England. And Kevin Kaur was my guest, about a month ago, I guess. And my guest, I guess. And And that'll be fabulous to meet all the Reiki masters in England and get an update with him. And then when I come back from England and my trip, his wife, Christine Dehira, is going to be a guest, and we will talk about all the new energies and the new updates from the higher realms from her perspective. And anyway, then after I do the update with Kevin, then I'm going to Transylvania. And the reason why I'm going to Transylvania, for those that don't know the connection between Saint Germain and Transylvania, is when he started his last incarnation in Europe, and was ultimately known as the Count of Saint Germain. His father was Prince Rogozi of Transylvania. He was the Prince of Hungary and also the Prince of Transylvania simultaneously. And Saint Germain was born in Transylvania, in the castle. I'm not sure exactly where the castle is. Saint Germain is tried to tell me, but you know, when you're in the fifth dimension, the events and places and all of that of the third dimension kind of start melting away, and it's a little difficult for him to tell me map type of things, but he's trying his best, and I'm going to go find the castle one way or another, and hopefully by the time I do the show on the 6th, I will know where the castle is, and maybe I'll do the show from the castle. And so then from there, I'm going to Paris and Versailles to hone in on the actual Saint Germain, Count of Saint Germain type things. I'm staying at a hotel. This is so cool. I'm staying at a hotel in the Saint Germain district of Paris, which is where Saint Germain got his name, the Count of Saint Germain. And I'm staying, and the hotel is right on the corner of the Boulevard of Saint Germain and Archangel Michael, my two favorites. So I'm really looking forward to that. And Saint Germain has paintings in the Louvre, which very few people know about. And I'm going to go and find those paintings. He tells me that they're landscapes that have geometric encodements in them. And he painted under a different name. He didn't sign them the Count of Saint Germain. And I have part of the name. So this is going to be a treasure hunt and a little bit of a wild mystery tour, pulling all these... tracing his steps and pulling all the pieces together, and I'm really excited about it. So I leave 1 week from today, providing my passport comes back in time. I don't have my passport yet, but somehow it will be here. And so that's what's going on with me right now. So why don't I tell you a little bit about Saint Germain, because I assume that everybody knows all about him, and I'm finding out that that is just an assumption of mine. Many of you do, but a lot of people don't. And since I'm talking about tracing his footsteps and all that, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He is an ascended master at this point in his life, and actually in most of his incarnations or not all of them, but in quite a few of them, he already was an ascended master and took form to bring certain points and certain energies and frequencies and teachings into the third dimension. One of his most famous lifetimes, or the one that people really know him through him, is his Merlin existence. And he was definitely ascended already when he became Merlin, and he was not born as Merlin. Merlin was not born. He just sort of showed up whenever necessary. He was the one that taught King Arthur how to be king and guided him. And He didn't wear the pointed hat with the moons and stars. Actually, if you've seen the movie Excalibur, that was out, when was that out? Maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. The man that portrayed Merlin in that had a close-cropped dark beard, and he wore a silver skull cap. That is so amazingly close to the way Merlin really looked in those days. Over time, you know, legend and myth and all of that, he evolved into the gray-haired, long-bearded, pointed hat, you know, big caped wizard, but he really looked a lot more like the guy in Excalibur. So if you haven't seen that movie or haven't seen it in a long time, you might be able to still find it at some video stores and rent it and see what he really looked like. Pay no attention to how they portray Morgana. That's not true. She was not evil, and she did not try to kill Arthur. She loved her brother very much, and actually saved his life when he supposedly died on the battlefield. He didn't die. He was Morgana and two of the other priestess took him to Avalon and restored him to life, back to life, and he stayed there until he did ascension, till he physically ascended. That's why no one has really found Excalibur, and even though in England there's a place where they say this is Arthur's grave, I would guarantee if they dug that grave up, there'd be nobody inside, because he did not die, he ascended. And King Arthur, his ascended self is known as El Moria, the Lord of the First Ray, the will of God. So I'm doing that one, and then if I have time, I want to go to St. Albans, because St. Germain was St. Alban, and he was also Francis Bacon and Roger Bacon, also taking place in England. I might be able to try and find those places. And then all other lifetimes that he had was Christopher Columbus and Pythagoras. He was Pythagoras. And who else was he? Well, in Atlantis, he was the head of the Violet Flame Healing Temple, which was a beautiful temple that people from all over Atlantis, you know, came from far and wide to go to the Violet Flame Healing Temple. And in those days, the flame was visible. You could see the flame and feel its energy. And it was a beautiful temple that was white and lavender and violet marble. And big, huge golden cauldron in the center of it with the violet flame, sort of similar to the Olympic torch, you know, when they have the Olympic Games and they have the big, huge torch that they light at the beginning of the ceremonies with the original flame and extinguish it. It was, you know, very ceremonial and large and beautiful like that in the center of the temple. And, he was Joseph. He was the father of Jesus. And who else was he? Well, that's enough. You get the idea. So the main thing that people know about him is, or are interested in, is his last incarnation, because he was in the same body for over 350 years, and actually still is to a certain extent. He never died, and actually he wasn't born in that lifetime either. He was already ascended. He ascended as Roger Bacon, and even though he had incarnations after that, they were really just manifestations. He never went through the birth process again after that. And even though I said earlier I'm going to the castle where he was born, he really wasn't born. He kind of popped in around age 5, and he, even though he, we say he lived in the same body for 350 years, truth be known, he was not in that body continually. He would pop in and pop out, and he would stay in form for, you know, weeks or days or months as it as necessary and as suited him. And then if you read history, even the people that were he was around in those days would say, well, gee, you know, we haven't seen him for several weeks or several months, and he just sort of disappeared. And they meant it in the way of, if you and I were talking about our mutual neighbor who just went on a trip somewhere and didn't tell us he was leaving for 2 months, you know, we would say, well, he just kind of disappeared. We don't know where he went. That's how people thought about Saint Germain, is that he just kind of disappeared. They didn't know that he really disappeared and took his body with him and dematerialized and went into the higher realms. And then he would, you know, pop up. And so he was able to bilocate and trilocate and precipitate, which is when you just, with the thought of your mind, know how to manipulate matter and electronic substance and can create anything that you want right there on the spot. And he did that, and he was able to demonstrate it to quite a few people. And he kept his physical body in good shape through herbs and elixirs and different substances that he invented and created, one of which is the product that I have available to everyone called the elixir, which is a vibrational essence of the actual herbal elixir that he drank way back then. Took me 25 years to get the formula out of him, but finally gave it to me. And he lived, the way he got his name, he was, his first beginnings was as the son of Francis Ricosi. And throughout these 350 years, he changed his name quite often to avoid obvious suspicion of looking the same for hundreds of years. So he changed his name a lot and moved around to different parts of Europe, and faked his own death on quite a few occasions, and would attend his own funeral in disguises. He was quite the character, and rather flamboyant in nature, very diplomatic, could speak every language that there was flawlessly without an accent, could simultaneously write with both hands in perfect mirrored image. You would take the two pieces of paper and hold them up to the light, and they were exactly identical. He invented many musical instruments and was a violin virtuoso, compared to the same level of skill of Paganini. He was a painter, like I mentioned, with the Louvre, and just a diplomat, a general in the Russian army during the time of Catherine the Great. He helped put her on the throne. He spent a lot of time in Versailles with Louis the 14th and 15th both, and tried his best to stop the French Revolution from happening quite the way that it did. Louis didn't listen to him in time and therefore lost his head. And the way he got the name Count, or the way he got the title Count of Saint Germain, is in order to live in Versailles, because it was the royal palace, you had to be of royalty. So Louis gave him the title Count of Saint Germain, in French pronounced Saint-Germain, and it was because of the district in Paris, the Saint Germain district, which was named after a Catholic saint by that name, and Saint Germain des Prés. And so he took that title, and then when he ceased being in this body and went to spend most of his time in the ascended state, you get to pick a name, you know, of what you want to be known by. And he was so fond of France and that time period. I mean, who wouldn't, you know, jewels, diamonds, the House of Mirrors, all the charm of the court and all. But also the French people. He was a patron of the poor and really helped the downtrodden and all. And he just really has a fond place in his heart for France. So he chose the name Saint Germain, partly because of that, also partly because when he was growing up, part of his time was spent in Italy in a town called San Germano, which is the French version of Saint Germain, and then in Latin, Sanctus Germanius means holy brother. So it was for those three reasons, the holy brother meaning, the Italian lifetime, or time period, and the French time period. So that's why he's known as Saint Germain. And it's primarily the Sanctus Germanius, or the holy brother meaning, that is his reason for being Saint Germain, because that's how he wants us to think of him, as our brother, not a deity to be worshipped or anyone different than us, just slightly older in knowledge. We're all timeless, so we're all the same age, basically, no matter how we fit into the scheme of things chronologically at this time. But, you know, that kind of older brother that you look up to that knows just a tiny bit more than you and wants to help you. So that's how he wants to be known to us and his relationship to us. And as an ascended master, his gift to us, he has given us many, many gifts and helps us from his higher realms as much as he can. He's very involved with, on a personal basis, with people that want to interact with him to help their spiritual path and want to learn from him. He's always there. You just need to ask, and he will show up. Sometimes you have to kind of keep asking. Not that he needs a lot of asking, but we need to continually keep asking to prepare ourselves or to open our vibration and ourself up in order to see him and hear him and feel him. He's there. It's sometimes our perspective that we don't think he's there. So that's why sometimes an individual needs to kind of keep asking so that, you know, that whole exchange can happen. But the main gift that he's made available to everyone is the violet flame. And the violet flame is something that has always existed since the beginning of time, of which there is no beginning. So it's something that's always been available, but it was a secret. It was a very secret high teaching and knowledge, and in the past, only when you were ready to make your ascension were you given the knowledge of the violet flame, because all who make their ascension have to go through the violet flame in order to do their final ascension. It's like the final clearing of all karma and transmutation. And some people were only told about the violet flame days or weeks or hours before they ascended. Saint Germain wanted people to have this available to them so that they could make ascension faster. Because in some cases, someone might have had to have had a million lifetimes to perfect themselves enough to that point of ascension. Whereas now, in reality, someone could, by using the violet flame very diligently, make their ascension in one lifetime. So, I'm going to give you a very simple way to work with the violet flame. And the main thing is to use your own words and your own feeling and your own intentions for it. You don't have to buy books from organizations that have things written, you know, little rhymy things and decrees, and sit there and say them over and over again for hours and hours. I've done all that in the past. It does have some merit, but it's not nearly as effective as saying it from your heart and with your own words and with your own feeling and emotion. A lot of times these words that are pre-written are very difficult to understand, or they're not the kind of language that you would normally use, so it's a strange thing that you have to get used to saying, or they're asking things that aren't really what you want to ask. So Saint Germain has asked me to tell as many people as possible to just make it simple, make it your own. You know, the road to enlightenment and the road to ascension is so much easier and simpler than a lot of people make it out to be. You know, it's so simple that a lot of people think, oh, that can't be the real answer. That's too easy. Well, yes, it is easy. I mean, God is easy. God is natural. God is simple. It's just like falling off a log, you know? And so the main points are just to know that this is a real fire. It's an interdimensional fire. It's in shades of purple and lavender and hot pink and white, whereas our third dimensional fire is oranges and yellows and the little blue core center. And to kind of visualize it if you can. Some people are visual. If you can visualize it coming into your body, that's great. If you're not a visual person, that it still works. You just call it in and know that it's coming in. Some people can feel it. Some people can't feel it. Some can see it. Some don't. It doesn't matter. It's just your intention and calling it in that works. And what the violet flame does is it transmutes all negativity. Okay, so I guess we had a little technical glitch and I was off the air for a little bit. I don't know what people did or did not hear. So there's 4 points to this meditation. I'm going to explain them first, and then we're going to do it together. So the first thing that you do is you ask the deity of your choice, or just ask the violet flame itself to make itself manifest inside your body. And the visualization that I use for myself is just seeing a ball of violet flame above my head coming down into my crown chakra and filling my entire body, everything within my skin. Be totally consumed by the violet flame. And then the next step is to still contain the violet flame within your body, but to also then send it out, preferably through your heart chakra, and wrap it around your body so that it encompasses your emotional body, your mental body, and your spiritual body, or your entire auric field, you know, the large egg-shaped energy that we are. So at this point, you have the violet flame in your body and around your body. At this point, you ask it to transmute that which you want to be transmuted. You can transmute past life karma. You can transmute negative energies, negative emotions, anything that you want to get rid of. You can transmute diseases. You know, again, limited only by your imagination. Whatever you want to list as what you want transmuted, that would be the point where you would do that. There's also an easier way, rather than listing things, is just to say anything and everything that stands in my way of my complete ascension or my divinity, or again, you know, the words that are important to you. And the visualization that I get at this point, and these are just suggestions, is I kind of envision little spots in my auric field or inside my physical body where maybe these little negative things are being held, just kind of burning up and as they're being transmuted and making smoke or something as they transmute and go up and out of my body. And then the next thing that you do is you take that which has been transmuted and or that which has been burnt and transmute the negativity into something positive. And what I do, and again, you can transmute it and change it into any type of energy that you want. I turn it into the golden light, the golden light of the Christ consciousness, since that's where we're all headed for, is to become the Christ consciousness, and that energy happens to be metallic gold. So I see all the smoke turn into the golden light, and then I bring it back into my body. The same way that the flame came in, you know, in through the entire body and then out and surround it. That's the four steps that you do. And it takes much longer to explain it than to actually do it, but I like to give people a visualization about it first so that then when we do the little invocation, it's easier to follow. Now, this, besides the violet flame transmuting karma and negative thoughts and actions and emotions and turning them, you know, into something positive, it will also raise your vibration and frequency, and that is all that is really necessary to ascend. So it's doing many things for you at the same time. And this invocation that I'm going to do is just a suggestion of what you can say, just to give you an idea, but the main thing is to use your own words from your heart and to say them with feeling and intention. I do not personally read this invocation every time I do it. I just talk out of the top of my head and out of my heart of what I feel right then and there in the moment. And if you're grasping for words and humming and hawing, that's okay. You know, God knows your heart and God knows your intention and God knows, you know, what you want a lot more than you do, actually. So it's just, again, your intention and your sincerity, and the words don't have to be perfect. So those of you that want to do this along with me, just sit comfortably, kind of center yourself, and just take a few really deep cleansing, centering breaths. Breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And we'll do three of those together. So, in, out, in, out, in, and out. Mighty I Am Presence, beloved God, my heavenly source, please make manifest in me now the sacred violet flame of transmutation. Bring the violet flame into every cell, molecule, and atom of my body, filling me totally and completely. Blessed violet flame, blaze into my heart and expand out and around all of my bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, surrounding my entire being with your divine grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Transmute all karma, negative thoughts, actions, deeds, and energy that I have ever created at any time, in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, for all eternity. Transmute anything and everything that stands in my way of embodying the ascended Christ being that I am. Beloved violet flames, turn all that has been transmuted into the golden light of God, the Christ consciousness, the light of God that never fails. Send this golden light to me now, filling and surrounding my entire body with its divine radiance, raising my vibration and frequency to the highest level possible for me at this time. So be it, and so it is. Thank you, God. Amen. That's how fast you can do it, and you can actually do it even faster by not having such flowery words. But always keep in mind the bringing in of the flame, the wrapping around, the transmuting of the karma and negativity, and then the changing the negativity into either the golden light or the emerald light if you're working on healing, physical healing, the pink light of unconditional love if you want to bring more love into your life and feel comforted, the blue light of became white special. No, I'm only kidding. Krishna. Krishna's blue. The blue light of peace and tranquility and calmness. It's also Archangel Michael's color. The blue light is the blue flame. And you can layer them. You can bring in as many colors and as many of the rays as you want. You can bring in the diamond ray, which is a wonderful, wonderful energy, very high light frequency that is just the way a diamond sparkles in the sun. It's a semi-transparent ray that has all the entire rainbow colors in it, like flashing light. You can bring that into you. Get a on my website, there's a page about all the different rays and the different colors and what they do. My website's ascensionstgermain.com. And, just bring in what you feel. Bring in what feels good to you. And if you don't know the color to ask, just ask about the quality that you want. You know, if you're working with prosperity issues, you could say, turn all this into the energy of total abundance and prosperity and bring that, those qualities into you. You can bring in physical healing. You can bring in anything that you desire. You just have to ask. And it's best to do the violet flame meditations at least twice a day, in the morning when you wake up and then at night before you go to bed. And it can take, a minute or two each time, and it will just totally change your life. Another way to work with the violet flame, and Saint Germain's really asking everyone to do this now, to help him and to help humanity and to help the entire earth with their ascension and transformation, and that's to just the way we visualized the violet flame coming into ourselves and transmuting our karma. We can do this with the planet, to where you ask the violet flame to surround the planet and to enter into, every crevice and every area of the entire planet, and then to surround it. And the visual that I get is that I'm viewing the planet Earth from space, and I'm looking down at this, beautiful blue-green planet, and I just see it totally engulfed in violet flame. And when you're doing it for the Earth and for everybody that lives on the Earth, including the animals and the the fish and the birds and the trees and the flowers and the elementals and all. Because this is a planet of free will, it's not in our right to say transmute, you know, all of this and all of that and all war and all hatred and all, you know, we have to honor other people's free will. And, you know, some people are not ready to transmute everything that we might deem wrong with them or a lower frequency at that time. People go through crises and feelings of negativity and stuff to learn lessons quite often. And if that's taken away from them, they're not going to learn that lesson. They're going to have to incarnate somewhere else, some other time and place, to learn that lesson that they need. So sometimes, trying to help someone is actually hurting them. So what you would say, or your intention, as you're violet flaming the entire planet, is that you ask for all that is ready and willing to be transmuted, both consciously and unconsciously, at this time, to be released and transmuted. And that way, what is willing and ready to be transmuted and just needs a little nudge, that will happen. And if you continue to do the violet flame meditation for, you know, your city and your state and the nation that you live in, and, you know, and then the entire planet, each time you do that, there'll be a little bit more that's willing to be transmuted, because, you know, when the first layer goes, the stuff that's obviously ready to go, that loosens up and makes available the next layer to kind of come up to the surface and be willing to be transmuted. And it's a gradual thing that it builds up great momentum, and it's like the snowball going downhill. It starts out little and small, but then it gains great momentum and becomes a huge avalanche. And that's the way transmuting the planet would work. So I ask all of you, if you feel so inclined, to please join me in doing the violet flame meditation for the planet every day, or at least as often as you can remember to do it, and to certainly do it for yourself, and to tell your friends about it, and to share the knowledge of the violet flame. It's something that can be done without compromising anyone else's belief system or religion or spiritual practice. It doesn't contradict any practice. It doesn't say you have to give up anything else in order to do this, or you have to believe only in this. So the point of that is someone can be a devout Christian and use the violet flame without compromising their belief system. You can be Jewish, you can be Hindu, you can be Islamic, you can be agnostic, you can be an atheist. You know, wherever you are in your belief system and your practice, the violet flame fits in, because it is just that. Everyone uses fire to heat their house or to cook their food, at least at one time we did, before stoves and all of that. So it's the same thing. It's universal and galactic and cosmic, and it's just there, and it can be utilized by anyone at any time, and it's very easy and wonderful to do. So I ask you please to do that. We've got about 5 more minutes here, and I just want to, if anyone wants to call and ask me anything, especially about the violet flame in the next few minutes or so, the phone numbers are, in the United States, 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, your toll-free number is 888-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 815-9756. So give me a call, because I've run out of things to say. Not bad for winging it. I filled up most of the time. This is another thing that I would really like some help on, if you feel so inclined. I've been asked by several people to write books, and there's so many different topics that I could write about, but I have no idea what people really want to know and what people would like to read about or learn about. So if anyone would just be gracious enough to email me with their ideas or suggestions or questions, it would really help me to know what to write about and which direction to go in. Because, you know, I want to be of service to everybody and be helpful. And unless I know what someone wants, it's a little hard to just jump in there and do everything. So my email address is inquiry, INQURY, at ascensionstgermain.com. And it works if you spell out Saint, S-A-I-N-T, or if you abbreviate it, S-T, Germain. So choose your preference. And or else you can visit my website and just click on the email me link. That will work as well, too. So again, next week, Ron Armatron, who's on right before the show, right before me, is going to do my show as well, so he'll have a two-hour show next Wednesday, and then the week after that, my show will be coming from England, and I'll have been there for a week, and so I should have some pretty interesting things to tell you about. Hopefully, we're going to have a private entrance into Stonehenge. There'll be about 17 of us going in there totally by ourselves for an hour, and we'll be doing ceremony and touching the stones, and I will have already have returned from Cornwall by then, which is where the castle where King Arthur was born is, the remnants of it, and Merlin's cave, and so I can tell you about my experiences there. And then the following week will be Transylvania. And then Leia Bowden will be hosting that, the next show. And you can get to know Leia before she does that by going to her website, which is energyportraits.com. And I'm sure she'd love it if you'd email her and ask her questions that you would like covered in the show. She's an amazing healer and visionary and just a great lady. She was a guest, and she was very well received, and I'm sure people would really enjoy hearing her as well. And then other guests to come are going to be Christine Gehara, who will be talking about the new energies coming in and about the golden Shambhala energy that's coming in to the planet right now and how to best utilize that. And she and her husband, Kevin, are putting on this incredible event next year in April in Egypt, and it's going to be a WESAC ceremony, an event right at the Temple of Luxor, which is where the ascension flame is anchored into the planet. And it'll be right there at Luxor. It should be an incredible experience. I'm going to be speaking there, and a lot of people are from all over the world will be coming to that event. So if you've ever wanted to go to Egypt, that's the trip to go on. And if you've been there before, you know that you'll want to go back. So start saving your money. It'll be the third weekend of April of 2008. And what else is coming up? Not sure. My schedule is set until July 1st, and after July 1st I don't know what I'll be doing next, but it will all come come to fruition by then, I'm sure. I'd like people to visit my website. There's I have a new product out. It's a ascension scarf. You know, Saint Germain gave me a new medallion that's his energetic symbol now a few years back, and it's a beautiful stylized violet flame that's in a heart shape to bring in the love energy as well as the violet flame, and then it's surrounded in gold and has the golden spiral of creation in the center of it. And and for a couple of years now, he's given me the idea to have these made into like a prayer shawl or a scarf that someone can wear during ritual and ceremony and meditation to bring that energy and that frequency in and just kind of wrap itself around you. And for 2 years I've been trying to bring these together, but I couldn't find the right fabric and I couldn't find the right people to help me make it, and you know, and it just took a really long time, but I persisted and finally all the elements came together, and they're now on the website, Ascension Scarves. I just put them up last night, and they normally are going to retail at $85, but I have an introductory special of $74.77, and they're 100% pure silk, and silk is the only fabric that holds a high frequency and vibration, and also what it does at the same time is it deflects negativity. And holy men and women and monks and samurai warriors and anyone that really knows energy throughout all time and space has worn silk garments underneath their clothes for that very reason. So this is a beautiful royal purple silk with the symbol hand-painted in gold. Everything was made by people with great consciousness, doing meditation and holding the space and the frequency as they were making it. And they're totally handmade and hand-sewn and all of that. So you might want to look at that and consider adding it to your collection of little tools and tricks to help you along the way. So until I come back from Europe, this will be the last time I will be speaking live, although I will be speaking to you for two shows pre-recorded. I wish you a wonderful week and life and year and everything else, and violet blessings to you and all that you see and do. Good night. Thank you.